Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, September 17th. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, an affiliate of Albany Med. Saratoga Hospital with more than 20 locations across the greater Saratoga region. People you trust, care you deserve, saratogahospital.org. Joining this afternoon, and we're lucky to have him for Medical Monday, is Dr. William Coleman of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. He's here to answer your questions about outpatient joint replacement. That's what goes on in your body, not marijuana. We always get a lot of calls on this program, so get yours in now. The number is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Coleman, your calls all coming up on the Vox Pop. When? Right after this news. Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us on this Medical Monday to discuss outpatient joint replacement is Dr. William Coleman of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. He's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon, managing partner at Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess. He earned his medical degree from Columbia University, received his orthopedic training at the New York Presbyterian Medical Center in New York City. He completed a fellowship in total joint replacement at Insull Scott Kelly Institute in New York City, where he provided clinical services for the New York Knicks, Yankees, and the Liberty sports teams. Dr. Coleman became a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, where he specialized in surgery of the knee, hip, and shoulder. His research interests include artificial joint biomechanics and the use of computers to improve surgeon accuracy and education. Dr. Coleman, we're very proud to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you.
So what's joint replacement?
Joint replacement is a procedure for replacing the damaged cartilage that wears out with arthritis with basically metal and plastic.
Right.
And
so there's been some, I remember for hips years ago, there was some discussion as to whether the right stuff was being used.
Yes. About 10, 15 years ago, there was some controversy surrounding metal-on-metal joint replacement and some bad outcomes.
So you do knees and you do shoulders.
Yes.
What's similar about knees and shoulders?
Well, they hurt a lot when they go bad. I can tell you, I have a bad shoulder, and it hurts quite a bit when it doesn't work like it's supposed to. But knees and shoulders both have this structure called cartilage, and when that wears out, that's what arthritis is, and joints get stiff, they get swollen, they get painful.
So is it a good thing for a doctor to have the disease or the mechanical problems that their patients will? Does it give you a certain amount of sympathy for them?
Well, it does, absolutely.
Okay, so I want to ask you, you don't always operate in hospitals, you have your own center, right?
Yeah, there's been a recent trend with surgery centers, outpatient surgery centers, where patients go home after what previously were inpatient hospital procedures like joint replacement or spine surgery.
Do they stay in the place for a night, or do they just go home?
They can. You know, our surgery center in Poughkeepsie has overnight capability. Uh-huh. So far, we haven't had to use that, which is good.
Interesting.
But it's nice to have it.
Interesting. Okay, so we're going to take a lot of calls because there are a lot of people on the phone already. And I hope you're ready to go, are you?
Great. Yeah, let's go.
All right. Jim and Matamoros, let's go. What do you got?
What type of glue is used in orthopedic repair, and how long does it generally last? Is there any association with cancer?
The glue that we used is called polymethyl methacrylate. It's a bone cement, and it's very biocompatible. Typically, you can count on it lasting 15 to 20 years. There is no association with cancer that we know of.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. No, that's wrong. Yeah, that's right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Karen in Cummington. All right, Karen, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had my knee replaced 2 years ago, and it failed. And my doctor, I don't blame him at all. I'm the only failure he's ever had, really. Sent me to Boston. They wanted to do it again, but the fellow there said, we could do it again, but it might turn out the same way. That would be a hard decision to make. It turns out it was an impossible decision to make. So I tried arthroscopy about a month ago, and it's not doing so well. I mean, I'm doing PT up the Gazorki. I'm doing everything, everyone, and I always did everything I was told to do. I was tested for allergies. We tried to cover all possible whys, and I just wondered if you had any idea what causes failure.
Well, Karen, it sounds like your doctors are doing all the things that they're supposed to be doing. The reason for knees failure can often be complicated. You know, the most common are infection or loosening or instability of the implants. And once you rule those things out.
That's all been ruled out, yep.
Yeah. It gets pretty tricky. It does get pretty complicated. Sometimes it could be coming from your back or it could be coming from your hip. And it sounds like they probably ruled that out as well if they're doing their job. And it sounds like
they
were.
Yeah, they did bone scans. They did everything. I think the euphemism is stiff knee.
Is your knee stiff, yeah? Do you have reduced range of motion of the knee?
I have a 90-degree, that's it.
Uh-huh.
And in the arthroscopy, he got it so that it would bend full tilt. He couldn't get it to straighten, but it's now been a month since then, and it's going back again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Stiffening up again.
Yeah.
With pain. I mean, when I say stiffen, that's why I say euphemism. It really hurts.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Sometimes that it can be, those rare cases can be problematic.
That's what I am, and you don't have any idea.
Well,
beyond, they really trust my doctors, so I have to say they are good.
And they sound like good doctors. It's difficult to tell over the phone exactly what the problem is. So,
Karen, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
Bye. And now on to, Carrie in Plainfield, Massachusetts, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, Carrie, you're on.
Hi, hello. I have a knee question. In 1972, I had surgery on my left knee for torn meniscus. And 16 months ago, I had total knee replacement surgery. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe before the knee replacement surgery, I was informed that that knee had arthritis and torn ligament issues. So my question is, after the knee replacement, should the arthritis and ligament issues now be non-existent?
Yeah, Carrie, right? Yeah. After knee replacement, the arthritis is completely eradicated and you can't get it back ever again. The ligament, depending on which ligament, is likely not going to be a problem. Probably it was your ACL or your PCL, which were gone, and those typically become inconsequential after the knee replacement. So,
what's an ACL?
The ACL is an abbreviation for anterior cruciate ligament. It's a commonly injured ligament with athletes, younger athletes, football, soccer, more common in women typically. It's an important stabilizer in the knee, but injury to it can lead to arthritis. So,
okay, well, that's so interesting. I want to go now, if we can, to, let's see here, Martin in Cohoes. Martin in Cohoes. Hi, Martin.
Hi. Thank you, Alan. A question for Doc. I didn't have a replacement, but I had orthopedic surgery for the Achilles tendon. It tore, and I had it repaired, and they used a nerve block, and it left me with severe nerve pain on the side of my foot, not where the surgery was. I'm told it'll go away eventually. Are you familiar with things like that happen?
Yeah. So I don't do the nerve blocks myself. Usually the anesthesiologist will do the nerve block, And typically they'll use an ultrasound machine to make sure that they don't damage the nerve. They want to put the local anesthesia around the nerve, not in the nerve. In rare cases, sometimes there can be some lasting damage to the nerve, but typically it does go away with time. The older you are, the longer it takes to get better, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm pretty old.
Smoking, of course, makes it worse too. But usually I would, you know, hold out hope that that'll get better. Nerves do get better. They just take time, unfortunately, to get there. So hopefully the Achilles is working for you, though.
Not yet. I'm just starting physical therapy, and it's not quite working yet. But I'm concerned because of the nerve pain on the outer aspect of my foot.
That should get better with time. Hang in there.
Okay, Doc. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thanks a lot. Okay, hang that up. Okay. So anyway, that's an interesting question. So with nerve block, let's say somebody has a bad outcome on a knee or a back, can you deal with those nerves so that you block them so that the pain goes away?
Well,
do you know what I'm talking about?
If you have a nerve, nerves are important structures. They have function. They provide sensation and they provide innervation to the muscles. So we can't just stop the nerve from functioning, or you'll get paralysis or you'll have numbness. So a nerve that's painful is problematic, to your point, because it's not an easy way to deal with it. You can't just sort of shut off that nerve like cutting a wire. You need that nerve to work.
Right. So the idea that one would have to cut a nerve in order to avoid pain has risks with it, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a moment. And we are back, and we are delighted to be back. We have quite a guest today, Dr. William Coleman of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. He's the head of the whole practice. He's got a whole bunch of people working there. So, William Coleman, Dr. Coleman, I guess we'll go now to Gene in Cambridge. Gene in Cambridge, you're on.
Yes, hello, thank you. I have a good friend who's having knee replacement surgery in about 6 weeks, and she told me that her doctor mentioned a new approach to pain management. I just wondered if you've heard of this. Sounds like it's somewhat experimental. It's not covered by insurance, but they do an injection to freeze the nerves prior to the knee surgery, and it's, I think, $500 or $600 to have this done.
Gene, I have not heard of freezing a nerve. The problem with freezing anything is that it damages the cells irreversibly. You know, for instance, if you were to put your finger in the freezer, it would freeze, and the cells will actually be destroyed. So I would be a little hesitant to freeze the nerves, you know, if that's in fact what's happening. New anesthesia techniques around knee replacement surgery are so good right now, and they're all covered by insurance as long as the anesthesiologist, as the patient's plan is in contract with the anesthesiologist, there's no reason to freeze the nerves because the anesthesia right now for joint replacement surgery is really, really good. And I would recommend not freezing your nerves.
Okay. All right. Doctor. Well, thank you.
Hope that helps.
Jean. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we're off to Jay in Albany. Jay in Albany, your turn. Go.
Hi, I got a quick question. The knuckle in my right big toe, which connects to the foot, the bone got bigger. It's swollen. It's not inflamed, but it affects my gait when I walk. I used to run, play a lot of basketball. And a friend of mine who's a podiatrist told me I have to replace that joint if I'm going to get a regular gait back. I'm just calling you to see your opinion on what options are available for that kind of surgery.
you know, just get your feedback on that.
Yeah. Jay, I don't do that type of surgery. However, I would, you know, strongly suggest you hold off on surgery, get it checked for gout, first of all, and also, you know, get an x-ray, see if you've got bad arthritis there, cortisone shot, anti-inflammatories. You know, the joint replacement for that specific part of the body, the results aren't as good as after knee or hip replacement, so I would be hesitant to do that until you try those other things first, because you can often be very functional without that kind of surgery.
All right, that sounds good. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551, and off to Sue in Albany. Hi, Sue. You're on.
Yes, hello.
Yep.
My question is, for someone that's allergic to nickel, and I am, and I need a knee replacement, I know that there are some knee parts available that don't have nickel in them. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, there are some. You'd have to check with your surgeon. He or she could look into that for you. There are some implants that don't have nickel in them.
Why is nickel such an important ingredient?
Well, the alloy that goes into making most typically replacement parts, typically the cobalt chrome implant has some nickel in it. It's just it's a very small percent of the alloy in the typical knee replacement part. But unfortunately, people with allergies need to get a nickel-free implant. They're out there, and it would just take a little research by your surgeon to find it, and I'm sure that he or she could easily do it for you. So,
thanks, Sue.
Thank you.
Right. 1-800-348-2551. A lot of people call in, but we'll get you in if you call now. Get online. Don't fool around. Let's go to Michael in Huntington, Massachusetts. Michael in Huntington, your turn.
Hello.
Hey, you're on.
Hey, Dr. Copeland?
Coleman, yeah. Hi, Michael.
Well, I had to call because I'm due for a knee replacement January 28th.
Okay.
And I'm 68 years old. I had a tree business. I climbed trees, and I've been a surfer all my life. And my knee is shot. My left knee is shot.
Okay.
And I've had arthroscopic, and he says it has to be replaced. But I went through a whole winter of tests, and I was just, the question was it unnecessary? They gave me an MRI, an upper GI, ultrasound, all kinds of blood tests, and I came out fine. You know, well, I'm ready for the surgery, but is that sort of a procedure?
Well, it's not, the tests you had are not typical preoperative tests. They must have discovered something.
No, they didn't found that. Everything came back negative. No
right.
Cancer,
uh-huh.
No ulcers, you know, nothing.
There may have been something about your, you know, first battery of tests that made them suspicious that you might have something. Because the test is negative, that doesn't mean it wasn't necessary. You know, you don't know the test is unnecessary until you get the results of the test. Kind of a retrospective scope can be... can be a difficult thing to apply. So I'm not sure exactly about your situation. It does; those were unusual tests to order, but maybe there was something there that the doctor saw. I don't know. So
they all came back negative. I'm cancer-free. I'm in good health. Fairly.
Hey, Michael,
I got a lot of broken bones.
Hey, Michael, you got your good answer. We thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay, so now... we'll go to Paul in Newburgh. Paul in Newburgh, you're on.
Hello, Dr. Coleman. Yes, I've had a long chronic problem with my knee. I've been putting off the knee surgery for years because I hear extremes. People say it's the best thing I ever did, or, oh, my God, I'm not doing the second one. It's just horrible. It's not much better. And there's no middle road. It's extreme. So, of course, that leaves you with some sense of, you know, it's not without trepidation I would do this. But I was taking Syndisc, and I reacted to it the last two times, so I'm not going to be able to anymore. So
okay.
We don't have a choice. Is there any advantage to doing it earlier rather than waiting? Someone pointed out to me just the other day, his friend said, not medical, said, you know, think about this. It's easier to heal when you're younger. I'm 65. Why are you putting this off? It might be to your advantage to do it now instead of waiting.
Yeah, in my opinion, the best age to do a knee replacement, if you can do it, is 65 to 75, because typically in that age group, you're still healthy enough to have the surgery. And likely, given your life expectancy, you know, the implant will probably last the rest of your life. So it's, you don't have to deal with a revision later. So 65 is a good age to do it. If you're in pain and you've tried everything else, just go ahead and do it. In my opinion, that's the right thing to do.
Great. Thank you.
So no problem.
Thank you. A lot of people on the phone now. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, let us go to, I'm looking at the numbers here. Yeah. Okay, so that would be Felice in Turner's Falls. Felice, you're on.
Hello. I'm a 57-year-old active female, and I have basically stage 3 hallux rigidus in my great big toe.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about what you can do for that, or joint replacement on the foot? Is that something that people know how to do, doctors know how to do well?
They do.
I'm sorry, doc, but what is the condition that you're talking about?
So hallux rigidus is a condition very similar to arthritis in the great toe. And the great toe is a commonly injured, or it's a joint that often gets painful and arthritic. Probably in the foot, it's, you know, the most common one. You know, a bunion is a classic example of a great toe deformity. But hallux rigidus isn't a bunion. It's just it gets very stiff, arthritic, and painful. And it hurts to walk, because when you toe off, when your foot is behind you when you walk, it's very painful right there because it hurts. So the treatment for that is very similar to like a knee or a shoulder or a hip, and you try non-operative stuff first. If it doesn't work, then, you know, surgery can often be the only option. So as long as you've tried all the other options, joint replacement of that joint is definitely something to consider. And you just want to find the right guy to do it. And very often it takes word of mouth and asking around to find the right guy to do it. Foot and ankle surgeons often don't do that surgery frequently, so find someone who's done a fair amount of them.
Always ask that question, how many have you done?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Okay, thanks, Felice. All right, and 1-800-348-2551. And now we go to Tony in Modena. Tony in Modena, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Coleman.
Hi, Tony.
I just would like your observations on the use of tranexamic acid during knee surgery, which I understand can be quite bloody.
Yes. Tranexamic acid, also known as a TXA, we like to abbreviate everything, is really one of the recent advances that has helped the reduction in pain and stiffness after knee replacement, and reduces the risk for transfusions as well. So typically knee replacement's done under tourniquet, so there's very little bleeding during the surgery. It's when the tourniquet is deflated, the patient is in the recovery room, where some of the bleeding can occur, and TXA has really helped dramatically to reduce that. It's one of the reasons that knee replacement is, over the last 5 years or so, has really improved tremendously.
So is it a drug? What is it?
So TXA is a drug that gets injected intravenously, right, or sometimes injected into the knee at the time of surgery, and it reduces bleeding. It's a procoagulant, so it helps the blood to clot, it's been tremendous. It really has been tremendous.
Okay, Tony, thank you. And now on to Debbie in Woodstock. Okay, Debbie, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, Dr. Coleman.
Hi, Debbie.
Just a quick question. My knee has been hurting a lot, and I'm trying to avoid knee surgery, and people have been talking about injections of gel into the knee.
Yeah.
Is that something you would recommend?
I would. It's one of those treatments that has very high potential gain and very low risk. So it's the pain of the injection. In rare cases, sometimes the knee reacts to it, but that's very rare. And it has the potential to give you lasting relief, say 6 months to a year. But you just have to recognize that it may not help at all. but it may help significantly. And for someone trying to put off surgery, it could be a tremendous asset. So.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie. And now on to Dave in Saugerties. Dave in Saugerties, you're on.
Hello. Good afternoon. I have a question for a friend, but it's also interesting to me because it may be something I'm facing. My friend had a partial knee replacement 2 years ago. Big success. Good at recovery. Healthy, and all of a sudden it became infected. He's in recovery right now from having it removed. He has to wait 8 weeks to make sure the infection's gone, then another surgery to put a new one in. It's quite a trauma. How common is that? What might have caused it?
Well, infection after partial knee replacement is less common than infection after total knee replacement. Infection after total knee replacement, the quoted stats on that are less than 1%, maybe between 0.5 and 1%. For partial knee replacement, it's even less than that. Thankfully, it's very uncommon because, as your friend has experienced, it's a major trauma to him and his family. A lot of pain and inconvenience, puts him out of work typically for extended periods of time. So, and what causes it after 2 years is generally considered that the infection came from some sort of bacteria in the bloodstream, and it could be from something just like a simple procedure that did it, or it could be like something like even a bowel movement, teeth cleaning, intravenous. You know, a blood stick, or it just happen. It could be bad luck. Sometimes in sick people, diabetics, it's more common. So it's an unfortunate thing, but thankfully it doesn't happen that often.
Why bowel movement?
Well, when you have a bowel movement, sometimes there's bacteria that are released into your bloodstream that normally your body clears by themselves. But because you have metal in you, the bacteria can attach to the metal where there's no blood flow, and they can flourish.
Thank you, Dave of Saugerties. All right. And now let's go to Catherine in... she's on the road again. Catherine, you're up.
Hi, Dr. Coleman. Thank you for taking my call. As a registered nurse, I've taken care of plenty of patients postoperatively after knee replacements.
Uh-huh.
And inpatients, there seems to be a pain management problem. The advent of Ketorolac has helped quite a bit, but you have an outpatient practice, and I'm interested to know what your pain management mojo is, because it must be good for folks to keep coming back, and you have a very successful practice.
The recent advances in pain management after knee replacement, you know, emphasize as few narcotics as possible, local anesthesia, so injections of long-acting local anesthetic around the knee, into the capsule, into the muscle, into the joint itself. Ketorolac, as you mentioned, also intravenous steroids, reducing inflammation. TXA, which was mentioned on a call earlier, has been, maybe the single biggest advance in perioperative pain management, particularly the 3-4 days. Immediate mobilization is key, so getting them up walking right away. The day of surgery, believe it or not, having them do stairs right away. I mentioned regional anesthesia, spinal, very, very helpful. You know, all these things in combination, called multimodal is the buzzword that we use, has made the biggest difference, I'd say.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you, Catherine. Catherine, we've got so many people lined up that I want to give everybody a chance. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go now to Kathy in Seward, New York. Kathy in Seward, you're on.
Hi, doctors, both. Thanks for taking the call. You haven't mentioned much about shoulder replacement in your conversation so far.
Yes.
And I have an issue. The x-rays show bone on bone. And I was wondering if there's any kind of alternative to a total replacement, like an arthroscopic scraping of some of the bone from, I guess it's the arthritis, has done away with the cushions in there. Anything short of replacement that you might recommend?
Well, Kathy, I have arthritis in both my shoulders too, so I can relate to you.
Oh, sorry.
I'm holding off on replacement as long as possible.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty bad.
The shoulder replacement, you know, as I just mentioned the previous call, the multimodal pain management really has made a significant difference in shoulders as well. Shoulders and knees typically used to be very painful. Now they've gotten a lot better, and the recovery, you can do shoulder replacement certainly as an outpatient, even more than knee replacement. The blood loss is minimal. But to answer your question, short of replacement, it's the typical things. It's anti-inflammatory medications, keeping the muscles strong, keeping your range of motion up. You could try physical therapy. It may or may not help. But short of that, you could try cortisone injections as well when the pain gets bad. You know, I have a lot of patients who come in for cortisone shots in the shoulder, and it keeps them going for 6 months or so, and they come back because they really just don't want to do the surgery, which...
Kathy, got to let you go. We're up against a break. We thank you for your call. 1-800-348-2551. We're here with Dr. William Coleman of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back in seconds. And we are back. We're back with Dr. William Coleman of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. We've got a lot of people on the phones. We're going to try to get everybody in, but you know, be aware that that's the way it is. Let's go to Marie in Greenwich. Okay, Marie, you're on. Hi, Marie.
Yes, I'm scheduled to have a total knee replacement, and I've been scheduled to have the injection in my knee, the Iovera, to freeze the nerve endings and to relieve the pain. Is that something you recommend?
I don't have a lot of experience with Iovera. I know it's out there. I think there was a previous call about freezing the nerve earlier.
Yes.
And you know, as far as it goes for knee replacement, I don't personally have a lot of experience with it, so I can't really comment on it more than that. I know it's out there, and it's one of those things that's coming.
So, do you think it would be something that would be safe to have at this point? I'm having it done several weeks before my knee replacement, and they say it lasts 180 days.
Marie, I don't know that I can comment on it just because I don't have a lot of experience with it myself.
Okay.
I know it's coming, and but that's about all I can tell you. I'm sorry about it.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Linda in Albany. Linda in Albany, you're on. Linda in Albany?
Hi. Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Hi. This is a question that I haven't heard talked about yet. I have a problem with, since I was little, having a dislocating patella, my kneecap. And I sort of outgrew it once I got to be into my 20s. I had a lot of therapy, developed some strengthening in the muscles surrounding the joint, and it seemed to be fine for a while. And then the last 2 years, I started getting such difficulty to the point where I couldn't even really walk up and down the stairs. And felt a lot of swelling, a lot of fluid buildup. So based on some discussion, I did have a lateral release done on that knee. Now, to try to stop the knee from dislocating. And it's been a year now. It has not been really successful. And my doctor is considering wanting me to have the repair where you attach the ligament so it pulls it in immediately so that it would prevent that from going out of you know, place again. But my concern is I've done a lot of reading about studies, and they were saying that unless you're the exact right candidate for that, there's not a really good outcome on for a lot of patients with that, and I wanted your opinion on that.
Linda, how old are you?
I'm 63.
You're 63. Do you have arthritis in your knee, or is it?
I have no arthritis. I don't have bone on bone, so I am not anywhere near a candidate for a total knee, and that's my dilemma now. It's not major dislocation, doctor. What it is, it's just very small, constant, irritating, slight dislocation that causes all the inflammation.
Yeah, I think that the medial repair would be the way to go. You may have considered doing that to begin with. A lateral release very often, you know, won't accomplish what the medial repair will do. So I think in my hands, doing that medial repair is worthwhile.
It is.
Yeah. It's really your only option at this point. You don't want to try any more. You know, as long as what's called your Q angle is within normal limits, I think the medial repair would be the way to go.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, now on to David and Medusa. David and Medusa, you're on.
Hi, doctor. I just wanted to get your opinion. I don't know if you're familiar with this movie that's on Netflix concerning the replacements of, you know, metal on metal and the release of cobalt, possibly creating dementia and stuff like that. I have a 92-year-old father who's in a memory care facility, and he had a hip replacement done by William McCauley at Columbia Presbyterian. And my sister, who has medical proxy with him, wants to now find out if it was that kind of hip, that hip that was replaced, that this could possibly be the reason for his dementia. Now, at 92, I would think that major surgery of replacing it, plus the fact that he has a walker, that physical therapy, that this is crazy to do this. What's your opinion?
Yeah, well, David, the first thing to do would be to find out if it was a metal-on-metal hip, and that would be accomplished easily enough by calling the hospital and getting the operative report. And in that report, it should state the type of implants that were used. And if it was metal on metal, the next step after that would be to just get cobalt chromium levels and blood levels. And certainly the orthopedic surgeon, some local guy, could do that for you. But the first step would be to get the op report.
Right, but would you think that at 92 and his physical situation of having a walker, that that would be a good idea to replace that?
100% agree with you that you'd have to think long and hard about that. You'd probably want to have all the facts first before you made the decision. So,
sure.
The first step would be getting the op report. If the operative report shows he didn't have metal on metal, then you could just stop right there.
Thank you, David. Okay, let's go to Judy in Woodstock. Judy, we're in a rush here. Go ahead, ask your question.
Hi. I'm 73 now. I had a left knee replacement, total knee replacement, 2.5 years ago. And I was doing famously, and then I fell and tore my patellar tendon.
Okay.
I had two revisions a month apart. So the last one was in April, the end of April of 2015. And the kneecap is about 3 inches higher than it ought to be. My surgeons looked at it, and he kind of said, I have no idea why the two revisions didn't work. I think we should see special surgeries. I saw two guys down there, and the bottom line was, yeah, there is something they could do, but it would be a great big cadaver graft, and they don't recommend it because it had a 50-50 chance of a severe infection. So my question is, I can walk on it, but if I'm holding it up, and I work out like twice a week, I can't straighten the leg up in the air. I can only straighten it if it's pushing against something.
Uh-huh.
And so it interferes with walking. I use a walker and a cane and even a wheelchair if I want to sit comfortably because I can't get up from a chair that's lower than about 25 inches. So I'm assuming that I should not do the other knee because it isn't really painful. I'm developing muscle, and I'm afraid of the infection idea. And the other question is there anything I can do to help me straighten that other leg and develop the strength there? It's certainly stronger, but I can't straighten it all the way. And it feels all the time like there's very tight wrapping around it, like scar tissue.
Yes. Well, Judy, that's a patella tendon rupture after knee replacement. A patella tendon rupture, even without knee replacement, is a tough injury to overcome. With knee replacement, it's even tougher, and there are definitely complications with it, which, you've shown you have a what's called a quad lag, and because the quad doesn't work right because the patella tendon is stretched out, you're going to have a quad lag, and the guys down in the city, 50% infection rate. That's probably exaggerating. It's probably not that much, but they're probably trying to talk you out of the surgery because the results aren't great.
Well, he kind of said, live with it if you can.
Yeah.
And come back if you can't.
That's right. So I think that's good advice. Unfortunately, there probably aren't good solutions.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, Judy. All right. Now we're going to go to, and by the way, if you're planning on calling now, probably not. We probably don't have enough time to get everybody in. We'll go to Mary in Schenectady. Mary, go.
Schenectady?
What it says, Marion Schenectady.
Yeah, thank you for your help.
My daughter is 30 years old, and she is going to need both hips construction bone. And not only the hips, but the other bone, too. That's the, I don't know, how do you call it, something like that?
Sacroiliac joint? No.
Sarcoidosis. She's going to need that, and we are asking, we will be the place the doctor recommend to do that.
Well, Mary, I don't exactly know what your daughter's problem is. If
she was born with both hips very bad. She's going to need construction of both bones.
Does she have dysplasia of her hips, perhaps?
Yeah, yes.
I see. Okay. Well, usually total joint surgeons, you know, where... You know, in Albany, there's probably, you're in Schenectady, so Albany would be the closest.
Yeah, we went there, but they said she has to do that research because not everybody does that.
Oh, okay. Well.
Do you know some place they are?
It is a specialized surgery that's required. So.
Yes.
In Schenectady, I think your best options would be Boston, likely.
Okay.
You know, we have surgeons in Poughkeepsie who could do it, or in New York City they could do it.
Special surgery.
Okay, how complicated could be that?
Special surgery is a good place, but you gotta. It's not the hospital; it's the surgeon. You know, there's good ones at NYU, at Columbia as well. So,
sure. Okay, thank you, Mary. All right, let's go now to as I said, it's not probably a good idea to call now because I know some people are still trying, but. We've got so many people on the line, it's not probably a good idea. Let's go to Jay in Albany. Jay in Albany, you're on. Go.
Yeah, hi. I get shot in both my shoulders and in my knee, and I've been getting them for at least 2 years now. And, like, the shots aren't lasting long. And I wanted to find out, is there any other thing I can do besides the shots, besides getting replacement done?
Well, we talked about the gel shots. You could try those. Those are worth a try. Again, they may not work, assuming you have arthritis. But you know, give those a try, and if that doesn't work, then you're probably looking at surgery.
Okay. All right then. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And let's go now to We have four people on the line. We'll get them in. If somebody else wants to call, you can. Let's go to Steve in Northampton. Okay, Steve in Northampton, you're on.
Hi guys. I'm a 68-year-old male, and I've been lucky enough to be active my whole life. I have knee pain in my left knee for about 8 years now. I've had it x-rayed several times, and they say they see very slight arthritis, but minimal arthritis, considering my age. One doctor has proposed that it may be a slight tear in the meniscus that's causing my left knee pain. I've noticed the pain gets greater when I don't stay active, when I don't run. When I do run, the pain seems to lessen, but it does flare up after a run. I've off and on taken something called a systemic enzyme, which supposedly promotes joint fluid flow in the joints. Do you advise an operation to repair a slight tear in the meniscus to lessen the pain? And have you ever heard of taking a systemic enzyme called metazine or wobazine in to promote joint fluid flow?
So, Doc, we're moving along kind of fast here, so the answer has to be fairly short.
Steve, you know, I would get an MRI of your knee to see if you have a meniscus tear, and things to take by mouth to improve joint fluid flow are... You know, or suspect, I think. So,
okay, thank you, Steve. All right, let's now go to Jack in Worthington. Jack in Worthington, you're on.
Hello, doctor. I'm a longstanding whitewater kayaker, and I've had an injury to my shoulder probably 25, 30 years ago. Been through long courses of physical therapy and cortisone shots and even platelet-rich plasma shot injections. About 2 years ago, had an MRI done with my surgeon. And he saw a right bicep tendon fray and another tendon in there had a little fray. And he proposed, you know, we could do surgery to replace that. And at 2 years ago, the pain wasn't really bad enough, so I figured I'd go ahead and just do more physical therapy and more cortisone. Anyway, the cortisone shots are over the last 2 years have not had the effect I've liked, and the platelet injections didn't have the effect I'd like. And so I went back to him, and he decided to do another MRI, and the results will be this upcoming Wednesday. But he intimated that he might recommend a shoulder replacement surgery, and I'm not from what I gather, shoulder replacement surgeries sort of limit you afterwards. I just want your opinion on that.
Well, there's a couple things, Jack. You want to make sure you have shoulder arthritis before you sign up for shoulder replacement.
Right. Sounds he like did it... see some bone on bone.
Oh, he did? Okay.
He said it might be. That's why he decided to do the second MRI.
I see. All right. If your biceps is frayed, you know, releasing that biceps tendon is an easy thing to do, and that often will relieve a lot of pain. Shoulder replacement, you can do a lot of activity afterwards, so it's not limiting. You just got to be careful. You know, lifting heavy, heavy weights repetitively is a bad idea. But yeah. If you get full range of motion, a lot of guys get back to full activity afterwards. So
they do, even in something as vigorous as whitewater boating.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Jack. Okay, now over to Joan in Latham. Running out of time here, Joan. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. I ruptured my Achilles tendon and had surgery 7 months ago, and I'm still experiencing nerve pain, and the tendon is tight, and I walk with a limp, and it's painful, and I can't keep up with people when we try to walk. Should I be worried? Should I see a neurologist, or is this something that should take care of itself?
When did you have it, Joan? Sorry.
February.
Okay. You know, give it more time. I wouldn't worry about a neurologist because the nerve to the Achilles tendon, the muscle for the Achilles tendon comes from way up by the knee, so that probably wasn't damaged. It's probably just taking a while for that muscle to come back. So you give it typically about a year of strengthening.
Feet are tricky, aren't
they?
Yeah.
Thank you, Joan. Appreciate it. All right, and let's go really, really fast to Shauna in Northampton. Okay, Shauna, you're on. Go ahead. It's got to be very
Hi.
Fast.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm almost 40. In 97, I had a motorcycle accident. I had 3 surgeries to my right knee to sort of reconstruct it. I have no metals right now. I sort of have bone on bone and chronic pain since. I've been in and out of physical therapy. I've had all sorts of shots to my knee. Nothing really seems to be helping. This past July, I was wrestling with my 10-year-old sons and, like, hurt the inside of my right knee, and ever since then, the pain hasn't gone away. I've gone to physical therapy. They haven't really helped. Next week, I'm going to an orthopedic doctor. I sort of want to go in there being able to advocate for myself. I'm really terrified that they're going to say knee surgery because of my previous infection, and because I'm an active mother, I sort of don't want to be laid up. So I sort of want to know what my options are. What should I advocate for?
Shauna, at age 40, you want to hopefully avoid knee replacement. I would work on weight loss and exercise if you can, occasional cortisone shots. Okay. Try to avoid knee replacement if you can, but often it is the only answer, but try to do anything but at your age.
Okay. We're out of time, folks. I'm so sorry. I want to thank William Coleman from Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County for being with us today. Dr. Coleman, it was a pleasure to have you here. Support for Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks to our wonderful engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Joe Makowick for answering our phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. I don't know who's playing the music, but whoever is, we thank them. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. And again, thank you, Doctor. Stay tuned now for a news update.